And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this cold Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how are we doing? Joe, what's going on?
Not much. I saw Marcus Mariota complete that was probably his first NFL completion last night.
Well,
right?
It was impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Had a few of them last night.
Where did he learn to? He played quarterback well.
He's all right. Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought he was pretty good.
He was fine. Nice little leg game interception like we're used to with Mariota, but yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And my stalled out drive at the very end.
And yeah, that too. And, you know, can't get it done, lose the game, but yeah.
He was not perfect. This is true.
Looked great on the ground. 9 carries, 88 yards, and a touchdown. 17 of 28 through the air, 226, one touchdown, one interception. Look, it was nice to see him back in there. I think you think that I, like, don't like him. I just don't think he's good. But I like him. I was glad to see him back in there.
No, it's not about the personal.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the personal. I think you think he is an atrocious quarterback.
I do. That is correct.
He's not an atrocious quarterback.
I tweeted this out
last night. He's not an atrocious quarterback.
I tweeted this out last night. It said, Mariota has the accuracy of a stormtrooper, but he sure is fun to watch. That's the best way I summed up that game last night.
A stormtrooper. I mean, that is pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I felt good for him because, you know, who knew? I mean, Carr's been playing well, although Carr has actually been turning it over lately. But, you know, you never know when Mariota's next chance will be. I still think that he could potentially be good enough to start somewhere in this league. You know, wouldn't call him an upper-tier quarterback, but – man, the after Mariota leaves shade at Mariota from some people. It's pretty. I hope they were watching last night.
That was
I'm glad
all
you were.
That was all the rage last night on Twitter. I mean, people were nationally like, "Wow, look at this Mariota guy! Like, why is he not a starting quarterback somewhere in the league?" And then you'd have like Chase on Twitter and some other people here locally be like, "Yeah, just wait a minute." And then like 10 minutes later, he threw that interception. I was like, "Okay, there you go." And they were all, oh, that's why. Like, yeah, it's up and down. He was largely good. That first touchdown pass he had last night to Waller, and he was beautiful. It was a beautiful throw.
Absolute dime. Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, he threw a pick. I mean, God forbid a quarterback in the NFL throws a pick, you know. I mean, I'm turned into a like more of a Mariota defender than I ever was. I mean, you know, I always thought he was good. You know, he was good. He had a chance. And then, and again, he was really good in 16 and all that. But, you know, it was good to see. And maybe, you know, maybe it'll lead to something else for him. I mean, he does have talent. It's between the ears with him, you know. Really being able to stand in against pass rush and make plays like he used to. He got away from that here.
Yeah, and they used him a little bit more in the running game than I think he did here with the Titans. Like 9 carries for him in a game, 88 yards. They ran a few RPOs there. Obviously, it was different with him in the game than it would be with Derek Carr. And that's a tough loss, by the way, for the Raiders, who now fall to 7-7 and look like they're pretty much going to be out of it in the AFC race. But an ugly game back and forth. But Mariota gets in there, 226 yards, another 88 on the ground. It was good to see. Maybe this will be the start of kind of a revitalization of his career moving forward.
Yeah, we'll see. He signed, what, a 2-year deal with them?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, it's still Carr's team. Carr, I guess, has a groin injury. So who knows what that means. I mean, they're pretty much, like you said, I mean, they're pretty much done now.
That's a bad loss.
That's a bad loss. And giving up the play that they gave, I mean, that was – that was Raiders defense there in overtime, giving up that play to Herbert. Herbert's going to be really good too, by the way. But yeah, pretty much now I'd call it it's the Dolphins and the Ravens for that last spot. And that's a really interesting race for that last spot.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you look at the standings right now, you've got Baltimore in the 8th spot, 8-5, Vegas, I mean, 7-7. So they're still alive. technically, but it's going to, first off, based on the way they're trending right now, it's not great. And then secondly, it's going to take some help from some other teams down the stretch here. So if you're a Dolphins fan, I think you feel pretty good today based on that result. If you're a Titans fan, that helps as well towards the path to clinching a playoff spot. Good for Mariota. Again, I'm not going to sit here and just totally trash him today. He played well for the most part last night, but there were like five throws where you're like, okay, why is, how are you so accurate on the Waller throw? And then you miss another guy by 8 yards. And it's just one of those things that leave your head scratching, but nothing that I didn't know before, Joe. I'm not trying to hate on him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, every other quarterback in the NFL is perfect on every throw.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
exactly.
He should get him out of the league, man. Get him out of the league.
Oh, man. Joe, Adoree Jackson.
Or Marcus.
Yeah, we'll continue to talk about Marcus a little later in the show. Adoree Jackson still at practice, but still not looking like he's going to be getting the starting reps at practice. Would you say it's unlikely at this point that he's in on Sunday against Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, based on, I mean, I think until he's, you know, actually working with their defense, and again, this is based on, you know, the people whose day it was yesterday. You know, John Glennon was tweeting because he was one of the reporters who were there yesterday. You know, that he was on the team or the show team, whatever you want to call it. So, I think until he is on the other side, I think just expect him to not play on game day. So, I mean, maybe, we don't know. There's no roadmap for when he will play, you know. So maybe he can do that, and all of a sudden today he flips over to the regular defense and he plays Sunday. I mean, that's possible. And again, there is a lot of practice that isn't seen.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, on the sheet it's limited, and to me, I would assume it would take some days of full, at least a day of full, for him to play. So yeah, I would guess he doesn't play Sunday, and then I get to hear another week of, you know, people coming at me and saying he's clearly not playing this year, right? It's all a conspiracy. And I say, no, I think he will play this year. I just can't tell you when.
Is there an Adoree Jackson conspiracy theory, like he's just practicing for his health out there right now, just not wanting to come back and play,
just getting some calisthenics in?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. Yeah. Hey, look, I get it. Like, it's been strange. I mean, the thing that happened with Pittsburgh is what obviously threw it all into a different timeline. But no, they're keeping a roster spot so he can play this year. So, like we've talked about this week, doesn't seem like you'd want to just go playoffs, you know, only with him. So, running out of opportunities in the regular season, but also you don't want to have any risk at all of coming back too soon, because you want him for the playoffs.
You do. And look, he's going to be important coming down the stretch, and this line continues to be a good one for the Titans in this game. Last time I looked, it was at 11 for the Titans as a favorite in this game. So I'm not sure that, especially like if Kenny Golladay can't go, if you've got any doubt, if you're the Titans in this game, that Adoree Jackson is ready. It's not like you rushing back in. I don't think that Mike Vrabel and the Titans would do that at this point anyway, just given how they've handled Adoree Jackson this year. So I don't, like, if he's not 100% ready to go, I don't think he's going to play in this game. And this game becomes a lot less daunting if and when Matthew Stafford is officially ruled out of the game. So the gut feeling I have right now, Adoree's not back in this week, and we'll see about the Green Bay game. That sounds like a game where you're going to need him, but it's also a game where it could be like, you know, 15 degrees, and you want to throw him back in. It's like, hey, good luck. It's 15 degrees. You hadn't played all year. Make sure you're stretching before the game. Could be an interesting situation for the Titans in that one.
Yeah, and he has actually talked before about how much he hates the cold. So
yeah. I'm with him.
You know, so that could be tough. But, boy, that would seem like the game, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a game that it might be you have to win. The way that the things are going for the Colts, you will know that day, because the Colts have already played the Steelers. But yeah, that would still, and hey, to me, it's like you throw them out there for the cold weather game against Aaron Rodgers, and it's like, look, nothing's going to be worse than this. Okay,
it's all going to be great.
I guess unless maybe like you're in the AFC title game in late January in like 10 degrees in Kansas City against Mahomes. That's the only way it could get worse.
Yeah, and look, we've seen that before too. Pretty cold last year in Kansas City. It's interesting, and you brought up the Colts, like how important it's going to be. I looked at the line this morning for the Colts against the Texans, They're favored by 7.5 in this game against Houston. So they played a couple weeks ago, and I think the line was Indy minus 3.5 heading into that game. So, number one, that kind of tells you the direction the Texans have been trending since then, but also underscores the importance of the Titans of you may very well have to win out to win this division. I mean, we talked about it the other day that 12-4 may be what it takes. I don't know that. Maybe the Steelers bounce back and they're able to take care of business against the Colts next week. But if you're the Titans, I think you've got to approach it with the mindset of, yeah, it very likely could take 12-4 to win this division. And obviously, like, you know, if you're a fan, I don't know how worried you are about the Lions game. But if you're the Titans, I mean, you've got to make sure that you're clicking on all cylinders heading into this game because there may not be a margin for error heading down the stretch in this division.
Exactly. And you can't, I mean, I feel confident in the Colts beating the Jags at the end. Frankly, more confident than the Titans beating the Texans. But like you said, the Texans, I mean, that was a brutal performance against the Bears. It's like the fumble against the Colts was still lingering or something. I don't know, but they're really bad defensively. And again, their season, they're just playing out the string. But, I believe in those divisional games. We see crazy stuff. So I'm not totally ruling out the Texans from bouncing back and giving the Colts a game here. But, yeah, I mean, I think the division likely comes down to, the middle of the three games, those huge, tough games for these two teams. And, I think that does favor the Colts, just with what we're seeing from the Steelers and the Packers at this moment. Doesn't mean the Steelers can't bounce back, but they are a banged-up football team. So, in the meantime, you got to get for the Titans. I mean, you got to focus up and get that 10th win. You get that 10th win and you're right there to where, you might get the playoff pushed Sunday, which would be a nice, and you're just talking about your seeding.
Then you got the matchup at running back on Sunday in this game between the Titans and the Lions. And one of the running backs for the Lions, Adrian Peterson. When we come back, we'll compare Derrick Henry and Adrian Peterson. Does Adrian Peterson, is that the closest comp we've seen to Derrick Henry in the last 10 to 15 years? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Of course, now that I've been watching this young guy for a couple of years, it's like he's definitely showing that, he is the next best thing. So as far as the torch being passed, I can't say that that's something that I want to do, but he's taking it, based on, how he has produced, over the past few years and, how unstoppable, he's been. Especially this year, it's amazing just to see him do this thing. And
that was Lions running back Adrian Peterson talking about Derrick Henry. Nice job, Elijah. Way to nice go ball. Coming back on the music.
Had to squeeze a little Neil Young in here somewhere.
Absolutely.
Talking always about a good idea.
Passing the torch from Adrian Peterson to Derrick Henry. Now, it was funny to hear Adrian Peterson talk about, it's not really something that I want to do. And that just shows amazingly still at his age and how many miles he's got on his body at the NFL level that he's still as competitive as he is. And look, I mean, he's obviously not the same player that he used to be, but still pretty darn good in this league at his age. He's got 508 yards this year, 6 touchdowns on kind of a limited role as running back with the Lions. But Joe, it got us thinking, like if you look at Adrian Peterson and Derrick Henry and just the body type, and I know it's different, like Henry's bigger than Adrian Peterson is, but the combination of the size and the speed and just the complete game that Adrian Peterson has and did especially have in his prime, is that like the closest comparison you can think of in the last, 10 to 15 years of what we're seeing from Derrick Henry?
Gosh. I don't know. I want to say more like Marshawn Lynch, but yep. I know that that's not a great one either. I mean, he was a pure power back, just battering ram and not a guy who could go the distance. But I don't really think of him and Adrian Peterson as very similar running backs. I mean, they're similar in that they can go the distance, and Adrian Peterson would certainly has trucked a few guys along the way.
Yeah.
I've never thought of him as a, you know, as a power back who hit home runs, just as a home run hitter and just an all around, obviously great player. I mean, you're talking about, he's close to 15K now. It's a ridiculous career. And to have 1,000, you know, with Washington just 2 years ago at his age, pretty amazing. But I guess I can't really produce a better one. I mean, like, I can go back – if you want to go back beyond 10 to 15, and you know, we've talked about Bo Jackson. I think that's probably the closest. And, yeah, Bo's the same thing, about 6'1", 220, right in there. But more of a power guy, I think, than Peterson ever was. You know, Christian Okoye also certainly comes to mind with Derek. I mean, that might be really the closest comp. Derek's just better,
right?
You know, and just but it's certainly, I mean, it's certainly worth the comparison when their teams are about to play each other. And it's interesting too. You know, when Peterson came in here 2 years ago with that Washington team. And we've talked about that game. That was a game the Titans were heavily favored. They almost lost it, but he was wearing them out in that game. And that was right after Derrick Henry kind of, you know, that was in the December of Derrick Henry kind of discovering himself.
Yeah,
which was interesting. So I mean, it's a natural comparison. I don't think of them as very, very close to each other.
Yeah, like they're different. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, Adrian Peterson had that stretch there where he was just unbelievable. I mean, 1,700 yards in 2008. He ran for 2,097 in 2012. And like you said, almost 15,000 yards in his career. I mean, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And the longevity that he's been able to have in his career has been just impressive. And that's kind of what I get to thinking about with Derrick Henry of, all right, he's in a run right now where he's, I think, clearly the best runner of the football in the league. And it's not particularly close, in my opinion. I mean, you look at him, last year he wins the rushing title. I think he's well on his way to winning the rushing title again this year. The only question I have with Derrick Henry is how long can this last? How long can he continue to be, not even necessarily at this high of a level, but close to it down the stretch of his career? Because Adrian Peterson, I mean, he came in the league in 2007, and here we are in 2020 still talking about him being a really good player in this league. Now, he's not, you know, obviously what he used to be, and he hasn't had, I think, a huge year since 2015 when he put up almost 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns. You mentioned the season in 2018 with Washington when he had over 1,000 yards at the age of 33 and 7 touchdowns. That's a great season for Adrian Peterson. I wonder, as you start to kind of forecast Derrick Henry and his career, does he have the makeup? Does he have, the stamina to endure the NFL and the hits that he's going to take, the amount of carries that he has? Can he produce a similar career to Adrian Peterson where he's playing well into his 30s and maybe approaching some of those milestones like 10,000 yards, 12,000 yards, somewhere in that vicinity and firmly entrenching himself in the discussion for the Hall of Fame and one of the greatest running backs to ever play the game?
Yeah, I mean, you look at Peterson's, you know, so that 2097, his career year, 2012 with the Vikings. So, you know, you're talking about year six and year six of being the guy, you know, I mean, year six of a lot of work, including a high of, I mean, he had 363 carries in his second year,
yep.
I mean, heavy usage, 1760, but year after year, I mean, the average there is high twos. He was hurt in 11, so he missed four games, so he only had 208 carries, but you know, he was right around 300 carry back there for 5 years. Gets that huge year, 2012, gets another big year then in 2013. So his first 7 years, that alone was different from a lot of guys. But, you know, when you get to year six and you've been prominent, you know, and you'd be getting that many carries and you have a year like that, you now have broken yourself from the pack of what the expectation is today for a running back. Like you said, I mean, since then, for various reasons, some injuries, yeah, he's had one big year, two and 2,000 yard years since then. So he's kind of hanging on and chipping away and stuff like that. But could Derrick Henry, you know, could Derrick Henry get to like year six, year seven and be that kind of guy? If that's the case, you know, I mean, Derrick Henry at that point, you know, we're talking a guy probably in the 8,000-9,000 yard range.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the way he's producing right now. It's interesting, too, with Derrick Henry, you know, we think of him, he's a fifth-year player, but you really kind of start the clock on him, you know, in 2018. I mean, just because he was a backup. I mean, the numbers he has for his this point in his career are pretty astounding when you consider, I think he started like four of his first 31 games.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, so that bodes well, you would think, in terms of, you know, tread off the tires for him. So maybe he can go a little longer than you might think for a guy who's been in the league this long.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, Steven Jackson is a running back I would compare with Derrick Henry on a size and power standpoint, given what Steven Jackson was like in the NFL. What do you make of that comp between Derrick Henry and Steven Jackson?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Big guy for sure. Steven Jackson was a heck of a receiver.
Yeah.
So skill set a little bit different. You know, and then that offense, I mean, that's what they did. But no, I don't hate that. I think that's, I mean, I think of bigger guys, you know, just because obviously, I mean, everybody in that Titans team will swear to you like 247 is selling him short.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're right or not. But even if it's just 6'3", 247, you know.
Just.
Yeah.
He's just only 6'3", 247 as a running back in the NFL running 21 miles an hour.
A mere 6'3", 247. So what was Steven Jackson? He was, yeah, you know, 6'2", 240. So, yeah, that's a good comparison. I mean, I feel like, you know, I don't recall Steven Jackson having a lot of long touchdowns, but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. He was certainly fast for his size.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. And in terms of longevity with Derrick Henry, look, I mean, it's impossible, I think, for you and I to sit here and try to predict what his longevity in the league is going to look like, because as we know, like it takes one hit in the NFL and your career can change forever. So obviously, like, we can't anticipate something like that. But just based on his track record so far, his size, how I think people just really shy away from trying to hit him hard in the second half based on how dominant he is. I mean, everything I've seen out of Derrick Henry thus far leads me to believe he can have a pretty long career in the NFL. I don't know what that looks like. That doesn't mean that he's going to sit here and run till he's 35 in the NFL. But just based on what we've seen so far out of Derrick Henry and how durable he is, I would not be surprised if he plays not at this high of a level, but at a pretty decent clip heading into his early 30s to mid-30s in the NFL. I certainly think that's at least on the table for Derrick Henry based off what I've seen so far.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was asked about, you know, his durability yesterday, and, you know, he didn't have a lot to say. He often doesn't have a lot to say, but it's a good question, because seriously, you're talking two games. You're talking the hammy last year. One game, comes back and does something no running back has ever done before, which is to rush for 180 in three straight games, including two playoff games. And then he had whatever he had like something his rookie year. I forget. I think it might've been like, I don't even remember. I could probably figure it out, but it was just some minor thing. So he missed one game his rookie year. And other than that, you're talking about a guy who, I think the worry is just how he plays and how people play him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, as tough and durable as he is, that many hits, is that not going to accumulate? But at this point, he seems to be handling it just fine. And so I agree. I mean, there's always the chance for some kind of a freaky injury, and you just never know in this league, in this game. Even just the non-contact stuff that can happen to you, you know, you just don't know. But as far as the wear and tear, he seems to be in great shape, almost incredibly great shape at this point.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in, says, how fitting would it be for Henry to break Peterson's record for single game yards and break 300 this week? Joe, if the Lions can hang around, maybe he's got a chance to break 300 this week.
I mean, hey, talk to Chase Daniel, you know, talk to Chase Daniel.
You need to give him a motivational speech.
Yeah. Henry should go over there and fire him up for the game. Like, yeah, talk some trash. Henry should go talk some trash to Chase Daniel before the game.
I don't know. If Derrick Henry started talking trash to me, I'd probably like fold up. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I'll throw a couple picks for you. Sorry, sir.
That's true. It might have the wrong effect. That's a good point. Well, talk trash to the whole team. I don't know. Because, yeah, that's what it is. Now they're going to lose the Lions.
Everyone's going to point fingers at you.
Oh, I know. Because it's just like it's such an afterthought that they'll win the game to me. But, you know, it's like is there any way for the Lions to be close enough for Henry to be used in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest questions of the week to me.
When we come back, what could Barry Sanders have done if he didn't retire early? And I've got an interesting question to throw out there regarding Barry Sanders and Derrick Henry. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Detroit Lions. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, let's quickly go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We were talking about maybe some comparisons for Derrick Henry in the last segment. Plain Joe on our text line says, a different style running back, but when talking longevity in the league, where does Frank Gore stand on your list? We talked about Adrian Peterson, maybe what the long-term future looks like for Derrick Henry. Well, what about a guy like Frank Gore, who's never been like, I guess, had that one sensational, flashy season, but has just been so good and so rock solid for so long?
Yeah, I mean, 37 years old, no doubt. I mean, you talking about a guy who came in 05 with the Niners. And, I mean, he had very consistent, excellent player for a long time. I mean, you're talking about 8 out of 9 years and 9 out of 12. He had 1,000 yards. And in the other two seasons in that stretch, he was just below it, you know, like 853 and 967. And then the after, which is Indy in 17, he's at 961. So you're talking about 13 years where he was basically, or 12 years in a row, because his rookie year he only had 600 yards, but he was basically a 1,000 yard back for 12 years in a row. I mean, that is very hard to do. And then he still hung around, and you know, now he's in that sort of, he and Peterson are both in sort of that thing, you know, bouncing about team to team. You know, Miami in 18, Buffalo in 19, now the Jets, and he's racking up the yards. I mean, Peterson's close to 15K, and Gore's close to 16K. But you're right, he hasn't had the spectacular. He had, you know, his second season, 1695, that's his best season. And for the most part, it's been, you know, right around that 1,100 mark in those best years. But still, that's incredible longevity. And just a physical, and also a guy who, by the way, had a, you know, came in with a huge injury from college and still managed to do all this stuff. So now he's, both of them are, you know, they're outliers. And we'll see if Derrick Henry is an outlier too. I mean, the thing that the running back position is, you even get to a fifth, sixth, seventh year of producing big in this league and you are a rarity.
So, Joe, since it is Lions week here for the Titans coming up against the Detroit Lions, let's revisit a discussion about what a lot of people consider to be the greatest Detroit Lion of all time, and that is Barry Sanders. And Barry Sanders, obviously someone that you watched a lot of in your time in Michigan, and many consider him to be the greatest running back of all time. Now, he retired early Retired at the age of 30, played 10 seasons with Detroit, never had less than 1,115 yards, and that was just because he only played in 11 games that year. But he had a 2,000-yard season, 1,800-yard season, over 15,000 yards in his career right at the age of 30. So it's pretty incredible to think about what could have happened had he stuck around and continued to play. So I'm going to ask you that, Joe. What could Barry Sanders have done if he did not retire from the NFL early?
Well, he was another guy who never got hurt, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, he had the injury in the 1 year in 93. Other than that, he basically played every game, played 10 years, and he had 15,000 yards. It's just ridiculous. And so, yeah, like you said, at 30, I mean, he easily could have gotten 20,000 yards. And beyond that, he probably could have gotten, you know, a record that just would be one of the toughest records in sports to beat, I think. You know, I mean, Emmitt Smith is sitting there at the top spot at 18,355. I mean, Barry's still fourth, you know, having played, what, six less years than Emmitt? I mean,
yeah.
You know, Barry would be 20-something K based on him never getting hurt and just obviously how good he was. So it's a shame, you know. He's been asked about that a million times and says he has no regrets. And, you know, it's just sad because, you know, I think the Lions, a lot of it was frustration with the organization. I mean, when he was there, you know, that they had a 12-4 team. They got to the AFC title game, won that one playoff game that we've talked about. They also had another division winner, then a playoff team. I mean, he got to the playoffs five times. So it's not like he was racking up yards for a bunch of 4-12 teams, but, you know, they had a chance to make some runs and they made some decisions, again, were more frugal than going for it to win. And that's part of his frustration too. So it's too bad because I think he'll stay in the conversation as greatest of all time. It's so interesting when you compare him to like a Derrick Henry or him to like a Jim Brown. That's most people probably pick one of those two, Jim Brown or Barry Sanders. And you couldn't have, you know, two more different styles.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting. Like, and it's always interesting. And we get this conversation with basketball a lot of like trying to determine who the greatest of all time is or the greatest at a position. And it is like, you know, Derrick Henry plays in a much different league right now than Barry Sanders did. And Barry Sanders played in a different league than Jim Brown did. And it's hard to compare all those. But I think, you know, Barry Sanders, just based on what I've seen, a lot of people that I've talked to, a lot of people that I've heard from, I think a lot of people consider him to be the greatest. Like, do you, in your opinion, is Barry Sanders the greatest running back of all time?
Yeah, I think he's the greatest. Yeah, and it's hard because, like you said, I mean, Jim Brown, I never watched Jim Brown play
right. Live,
you know. I mean, I've seen the highlights, and it's ridiculous stuff from him. And it's, you know, it's also I'm watching Jim Brown. You watch some of those old NFL highlights, like how many slow lumbering guys could be on one team here, you know. but still, I can't sit here and say he is absolutely better than Jim Brown, but. Yeah, I mean, he's the best I've seen, and I think he has a strong case because, again, you know, just what we've talked about, the production. And it's interesting, too, you know, you talk about what the defenses were like at the time. So, obviously, when Barry played, it was much more of a run-centric league. Defenses were more built for it. You know, I've heard with Derrick Henry, it's such a passing league now that this kind of football is sort of a, you know, it's a little bit of a curveball for teams that go through a year of preparation. There aren't a lot of weeks where NFL teams are like, we've got to stop that running game, right? I mean, you know, if you got the Browns and the Titans on your schedule, there's two, but there aren't a lot like that. So is that an advantage for Henry? You could look at it that way. It's also bigger, stronger, faster, best athletes ever, and they're just getting better and better. And any of these teams would go absolutely stomp all over teams from 30 years ago. I mean, I hope people realize that. Like, they would just blow them off the field. They're just – it's, you know, we get bigger and stronger and faster, and people care about nutrition now, and training is so different. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind too. But you're still talking about players in their eras. And so, like, even with Jim Brown, yeah – I mean, really, watch the NFL films highlights. Like, dude, like, how could you be an NFL player right now? You know, some of these guys. But, you know, I he was great for his era. So it makes it tough. I do think people are more open to, like, eras are different. We've talked about this, too, than, like, in basketball. It's a weird, like, blind spot for some people who think, like, the Bulls would come in here and beat any of these teams,
yeah,
like, right now. But, you know, Derrick Henry has a chance. It's so much of it. I mean, there was never a talk. I swear there was never talk of, like, how many carries Barry Sanders had, you know, in his career. He had 340 1 year, 330, 335, 343. You know, it's interesting, too, when you think about that. He never got hurt. No one ever worried about his pitch count. And now you think about that so much more with running backs. They seem to get hurt more. And so that's, we'll talk about that with Derrick Henry on and on, but I, like we've talked about, I think he's got a chance to have that kind of longevity based on what we've seen so far.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texts in and says, if Barry Sanders had Emmett's offensive line, he would have broke 20,000 in 10 years. Maybe.
Oh, may man. Have. They had this Monday night game in 94, okay, and the Lions won in Dallas. But the ESPN did this, did a thing where they showed where each back had to make their first move. And Barry had like 200-something. I mean, they both had great games.
Right.
But like Emmett was like 6 yards downfield, and Barry was like 2 yards minus, you know, like
in
2 yards
backfield.
In his backfield. And he had 200-some yards. I mean, no, it's so true. Now, the Lions had that run and shoot. And it was, you know, that, so they had like four wide a lot,
yeah,
you know, it was that June Jones, Miles Davis stuff that was kind of popular, and it was effective. Like they ran the sprint draw. Anybody who remembers that, I mean, they spread the field out and he had space and it worked, but I still would have always loved to have seen him in an actual running offense with a fullback, you know, and with a great offensive line. I can't imagine what he might've done.
So let me ask you this. Who do you think is more difficult to tackle for an entire game? Like going through an entire game against Barry Sanders and going through an entire game against Derrick Henry. We talked about, you know, some film that's been out there of kind of analyzing a game against Derrick Henry. The first quarter, it's great. You're tackling him. You're all pumped up. By the time the third quarter and fourth quarter rolls around, I mean, the effort a lot of times is just not there. It's not the same. It's hard. Barry Sanders was obviously different. Like you weren't worried about him just like plowing through you all the time. But if you had to pick one to try to tackle for a whole game, how would you answer that question? What do you think is more difficult, Barry Sanders or Derrick Henry?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's very different because, like, with Barry, it's the same. I think it's hard to tackle. His whole thing was he avoided the heavy contact.
Yeah.
He had a knack for that. But with any running back, you get to the fourth quarter and you're more tired. You're more gassed. But I'm still going to put it on Henry. I think the difference is it hurts, you know. it hurts in the fourth quarter to deal with him. So, to me, that's why I think he really just batters a defense, whereas I think Barry consistently throughout a game, it's hard to bring him down. Yeah, you're more tired, so it's probably even harder. But you're going to be just as frustrated chasing him around in the first quarter as the fourth. With Derrick Henry, it's like you might be demoralized, you know, which to me is if you can demoralize your opponent in football, that's a great thing.
We'll continue this discussion on the other side of the break between Derrick Henry and Barry Sanders, the all-time running backs in the NFL. Where does Barry Sanders rank? What could Derrick Henry get to in his career? Also, some Titans news with the stadium that came out yesterday. We'll discuss all that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, will join us to kick off the 7 o'clock hour as he does each and every Friday. So looking forward to that discussion. Let's go back, Joe, to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com talking about the discussion of greatest running backs of all time. Where does Derrick Henry fit in? Perhaps in the future, if he can stay on this track. Got a texture that says, give me a break about Barry Sanders. He's nothing more than a poor man's Walter Payton. Not a lot of Barry Sanders love right now.
A poor man's Walter. Well, he's nothing like Walter Payton. First of all, Walter Payton deserves mention. By the way,
sure.
Like, you know, he certainly deserves that mention among like the best ever. Walter Payton, by the way, is second still on the list, 16,726. But no, Barry Sanders is not a poor man's anyone.
No.
You know, so don't, I mean, get it right here, man. Like Barry Sanders was absolutely unbelievable. So was Walter Payton. Walter Payton. I mean, I would say like right now, that's probably your trifecta of the best backs ever would be Brown, Payton, and Barry. I think most people would agree with that.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, says, my opinion, Derrick Henry is closer to Edgerrin James or Joseph Addai, as in the way he rushes in his format of rushing. That coming from Josh in Nashville.
Edgerrin James, really? I don't see that at all. What am I missing there?
Yeah, I don't really see that one either.
Edgerrin James was fantastic, and what a weapon in that offense with Peyton Manning. But, yeah, I don't – Joseph Addai, that's kind of an interesting one.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that one. I can get behind that a little bit more, but Edgerrin was – I think very different, very shifty guy, you know, amazing out of the backfield too. Great, great player as well. Now, remind me, he is not yet in the Hall of Fame. Is that right?
I don't believe right. So. Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of those guys who's kind of on the fringe, which is tough when you're talking, you know, 13 over rusher, 12-246 for Edgerrin, but
he'll probably in the Hall
of Fame.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
According to
Pro
Football
Reference.
Did he just get in? So he must have been in within like the last couple of years because it can't be very long.
Okay. Well, he missed it a couple times, I remember, and people were upset about it. But okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, he should be in, I mean, based on what he did. But yeah, I don't really see the comparison there. But, you know, even a guy like, again, yes, 2020. There you go. Edgerrin got in 2020. So congratulations, Edgerrin. Sorry that we, for like 8 seconds, thought you were not in the Hall of Fame.
That's Cardinals,
you know,
great.
Like Joe,
Edgerrin James.
Yeah, Cardinals legend, Edgerrin James.
That's right. You know, Jerome Bettis is another guy. I mean, again, not – I mean, just in terms of being a quote-unquote power back, he's actually nothing like Derek either, you know. But there's a guy who – you know, Bettis is an example of a guy who, like, you can run a 5-2-40 and be a great back in the NFL. I mean, 13,662 yards, eighth all-time, the bus, power and shiftiness and very, you know, not much speed.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry has that, the ability to play power ball and then still outrun a corner. That's just, there's no one on this list who's quite like that.
Joe, some interesting news yesterday coming out, and I think the Tennessean is the first place I saw this. About Nissan Stadium and discussions going on between Mayor John Cooper and the Titans. And we've talked about a lot here on the show and here on this station for years, really. Just the Titan Stadium, Nissan Stadium, could there be renovations in the future? Could there be maybe some potential big games hosted here in the future, whether it's the Super Bowl, the college football playoff, whatever discussions you want to have. And right now, Nissan Stadium is poised for major renovations, according to the Tennessean, in the coming years, including a 100-acre mixed-use development that would bring a new entertainment hub and housing options to the campus. So right now, talks going on apparently between the Titans and the city of Nashville about making maybe a little bit of an entertainment district on the East Bank over there by the Titan Stadium, maybe some renovations to the stadium. And I know a lot of Titans fans have been wondering, all right, what could this look like? What's the future of Nissan Stadium going to be? Could there be kind of a new stadium being built at some point? How are they going to handle this? It looks like there are at least some conversations going on right now between the team and the city, which I think is a giant positive because that's going to have to be addressed at some point here very soon.
Yeah, and good scoop by Yi Yun Jiang from the Tennessean on this. And there's nothing established. Look, we knew Amy Adams Strunk has made it clear that she's not building a new stadium. I mean, she's put that out there a few times in the last couple of years that, you know, she looks at like Hard Rock Stadium in Miami as an example of something like she would like to do, some kind of massive makeover for Nissan Stadium, which I kind of have mixed feelings on. I think an updated version of that stadium would be awesome for the Titans. I love the setting. I love that it's outdoors and you play on grass. I get the push for if they had, you know, an indoor stadium, you could be talking about college football playoff games here. You could still have that, but you'd be talking, you could be talking about the Final Four here. You know, the NFL grants Super Bowls to any place that builds a new stadium, right? So, you know, in terms of event attraction, the idea of a whole new place, I get it, but, you know, I also, I mean, who's paying for that? And that's really right. The bottom line. I mean, this is, you know, reportedly about $300 million in renovations, which is, that's a chunk.
Yeah.
But, you know, a new stadium is a much, much bigger chunk, and that's really, to me, what it comes down to. So, yeah, the fact that they're talking, I mean, to me, the key about this story is that it's a good faith talks right now, and it's heading in the direction, you know, right now with Mayor Cooper, it's heading in the direction that it's going to have a good resolution. And I love the idea of some more stuff on the East Bank for the game day experience. I mean, it's not like it's like a problem to, you have to walk across the bridge there, you know, and go to the game, but think about how much cooler it would be to have stuff right around the stadium. I mean, why not? You know, I think the way this city is going, I think that would work out well for all parties involved. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good sign that the talks aren't just stalling, that they're heating up, because they have to heat up. And another thing with this stadium is, you know, the World Cup push could get a real boost from some kind of concrete evidence that there's going to be, you know, upgrades in that stadium. That is one of the things that the committee mentioned. And if it's known that, you know, this is going to potentially look different by then, I think that would help Nashville's case.
We're going to dive into some college football coming up next. Our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, will join us. We're excited for that conversation. But first, Joe, you got a word from FanDuel.
I do. I've got a word, because no one does football like FanDuel Sportsbook. And all season long, FanDuel's got exclusive offers for the best games on the weekly slate. So here's something Sunday that you don't want to miss out on. Right now, new users on FanDuel Sportsbook can bet $10 to win $150 on either the Chiefs or the Saints. You heard that right. You can bet $10 to win $150 on either of those teams. Great game, obviously. No Drew Brees. Could be a Super Bowl preview. Kind of looks like a Chiefs advantage with no Drew Brees, but that's the game of the week in the NFL, and that's a heck of a deal. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds promotions are just the beginning. It's a simple-to-use app, great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like the same-game parlay, and, of course, the exclusive always-on promotions like the enhanced odds boost on the biggest events. Bet insurance let you get back in at every game day. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, time to get off the sidelines and bet. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Use promo code WPRT to make your first deposit to claim your exclusive odds boost. $10 to win $150 on either of those teams, Kansas City or New Orleans, in the heavyweight matchup of the week. And that's promo code WPRT. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit's non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.